Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. On a national election day, character takes first place in the minds of many voters as they choose who will serve in Congress. Today, some closing thoughts about that elusive quality called integrity, as our series on Who Are You to Judge concludes. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on Who Are You to Judge? Learning to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. Erwin Lutzer comes again to speak on judging character with a real-life example of integrity.
We think of Sir Thomas More. We differ with his theology because he died as a Catholic, but we admire his integrity. Do you remember that story? Do you remember that story of how Henry VIII said to him, you'd better agree with the Act of Supremacy, which put Henry VIII over the Pope so that Henry VIII could get a divorce? Thomas More said no. He was the man for all seasons. Absolutely not. And he was put to death because of it. Henry beheaded many, many people, but Thomas More was a man of integrity and said no. Integrity. There's some things worth dying for. Don't be for sale. Let me bring all this together as we talk about some life-changing lessons about integrity. Life-changing lessons about integrity. Number one, it's fragile. Oh, is this thing fragile? It's like that vase on the mantel shelf that falls into 1,000 pieces. Yes, you can glue it together, but even after it's glued together, you can still see the hairline cracks. If you don't think it's difficult to win integrity back, try to do business with someone whom you once defrauded and see how that works. Or explain that you cheated to a partner and then work out it and try to recreate what your marriage once was. If you don't think that integrity is difficult to regain, think about that. One day I told somebody something about a Christian organization, and there were reasons why he should know this because he did have some influence, but I told him, I said, I don't want you to in any way tell this story to certain people. And he promised he wouldn't, and he did. He did. You know, it's interesting that even though it's been maybe 20 years ago, when I see him, that's the first thing I think of. And if I have lunch with him or breakfast with him, I say to myself, oh, we can be friends. Absolutely, we can be friends. But as far as conversation is concerned, I'm only going to share with him what I want other people to know. Integrity. It's fragile. One breach can set off a series of dominoes that is unbelievable. Just one breach of integrity. Secondly, losing your integrity begins with small infractions. Losing your integrity begins with small infractions. It's like a tire. Before it blows, you know, you say, well, you know, we went along and suddenly this tire blew. But actually, the experts tell us that there are cracks already that have been developing in that tire probably for months and maybe years. Usually begins by lying to your parents, lying to the school system, lying and not taking care of it, going through life, finding out that lies sometimes work, sometimes they don't. And consequently, you then become a liar. Young ladies, if you are dating someone and you find out that he lied to you, there are two assumptions you can make with absolute certainty. In fact, I'll use the word apodictic certainty. It's probably not a word you use from time to time, but I remember it is on the first page of Kant's Critique of Pure Reason, and every once in a while I like to use the word apodictic. It refers to absolute certainty. Two things you can know. Number one, this isn't the first time he lied. Number two, you can be sure that this isn't the last time he's going to lie. You say, but oh, he promised. He promised. He promised he'd never lie again. My dear friend, he just added one more lie to his list. Can you believe a liar if he promises you that he's not going to lie? Throw the fish back into the pond. I don't know, are you guys with me here? You know, are you with me? I need to know this today because we're plowing some ground here. Last, number three, restoring integrity. Restoring integrity begins with repentance. It's not enough to say, well, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. Don't accept that. That's like an alcoholic saying, I'm not going to drink anymore. A true liar will lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And you remember what I told you, that most people don't change when they see the light, only when they feel the heat. It begins with repentance. Well, what is repentance? Repentance is not only to turn from the sin, but it also, I believe this so deeply, begins with restoration. You've stolen something from work. You've taken goods that belong to others, tools, supplies, and you steal. The answer is not to say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. The answer is to take it back and say, this is what I took and this is what I'm returning. You say that you have spoken dishonestly about other people. And by the way, the more angry a person is, the less evidence he needs to say what he wants. Do you realize that there are some people who the best thing that can happen to them in their day is to hear something bad about somebody? What there has to be is repentance for that deceitful tongue that has been used to poison the minds and hearts of others. You can't just simply say, well, I'm going to change. No, you won't. If you have the habit of lying, I'm going to give you a surefire way to break this habit. Every time you lie, and it just comes out of your mouth, and then you realize, oh, I lied. You say to the person to whom you're speaking right at that time, I want you to know, I just told you a lie. You rebuke it right there and say that I've lied to you and that God is telling me and teaching me truthfulness, and so I'm going to tell the truth. I lied. And what you have to do is to ask yourself, what people have I hurt? Whom shall I ask forgiveness for? Now, some of you have some very complicated situation. Some of you wives are living with a deceitful, dishonest husband, and you don't know what to do because you know that he's being deceitful at work, and you know that his income tax is deceitful, and you're somehow a part of it, yet you're subject to his authority. You say, well, Pastor Luther, what shall we do? I'm not sure if I have an answer that says one size fits all, but what I'd like to suggest is that you ask God, what do you do? Talk to someone you respect and say, what do I do in the midst of that situation? But there are many situations in which we know what to do. We have to make things right so that our consciences are clear. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by duplicity. That's so good, I have to read it again. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by duplicity. Now, notice what the Bible says about someone like this. Last verse of Psalm 15. He who does these things will never be shaken. Wow. Doesn't have to have a good memory because his story is always going to be consistent. Doesn't have to say, well, you know, I said this to this person and this to this person, and now I forget who I said what to so that I have to cover myself and try to remember. No, he just says the same thing all the time. Integrity. We all have deceitful hearts. We have all at times lacked integrity. What do we do? Let me answer that by asking you this question. How perfect do you have to be to get to heaven, to be accepted by God? So let me answer it by saying, as perfect as God himself is, with no daylight between you and God at all, none. If that's true, of course, the Bible says, if you should mark iniquity, who can stand? We can't stand in God's presence because all of us have been deceitful. But what we do is we thank God that when we accept Christ as Savior, God puts our sin upon Jesus Christ. Christ's righteousness is credited to our account, and we are cleansed and we are forgiven and we have a brand new heart and we do things differently. C.S. Lewis has a chapter in Mere Christianity in which he says that sometimes there are Christians who are nastier than non-Christians, but the nasty person would be even more nasty if he were not a believer. That's encouraging, isn't it? And so what do? We begin there by accepting Christ as Savior, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we begin to say, Lord, in all of these areas in which I've lacked integrity, how do I begin to make them right so that I have a conscience void of offense before God and before man? The promise is, he who does these things will never be shaken.
That's really good news in an age of confusion, isn't it? That if we do things for God, we will not be shaken. Even though everything around us may be shaking, we have a sense of stability. I want to thank the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. You know, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Well, many of us have often thought about that verse, and we realize we individually cannot go into all the world. But isn't it wonderful, because of the investment that people are making, that Running to Win goes to 20 different countries in 3 different languages? That is so satisfying to those of us who are involved in this ministry, because we want to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. Would you consider helping us? Would you become an endurance partner, somebody who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts? Investigate it. Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. Let me give that to you again. And of course, offerrtw is all one word. Offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button. And now I hope you'll have time to write down the phone number if you prefer to contact us in that way. 1-800-215-5001. Now, if you were just going for that pencil and didn't have a chance to write it down, here it is again, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for helping us.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded Judging Character, the last in a 10-part series on Who Are You to Judge? A Study in Discernment. It is possible to be really intimate with our Heavenly Father. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss a series on sharing secrets with God. Who Are You to Judge? Can be yours as a set of CDs sure to inspire and inform. They can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.